You know, if you came here today, and I hope you did, to hear the message of Easter, you just heard it, didn't you? I mean, the entire Easter story was in that song that Ross and Phil just shared with us. You know, and let's just praise the Lord again for that message. Isn't it awesome? Man, I love Easter, and I'm really glad that you are here today. And of course, we have a full house here. We got quite a few folks over in the overflow as well. So we're glad that each of you are here to share with us today on this Easter Sunday morning. You know, the interesting thing is if you ever realize that Easter is all about encounters, right? Easter's about encounters. It's about having an encounter with the risen Christ. It's about, you know, the women that came to the tomb that first Easter morning. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But they encountered a risen Christ. You know, it's all about encounters. You know, coming in the presence of a loved one or a trusted friend like Jesus, or maybe a stranger. Maybe Jesus is a stranger to some of you, but it's about encountering Jesus and what he did on the cross. Matter of fact, let me start by asking you this. What's the most interesting encounter you've ever had? You know, if you were to ask me that question, I would have a lot for you. My mother told me years ago, she said, "John, you attract idiots." How does that make you feel here today, being, I mean, I've just always had this knack about getting around really interesting and unusual people. You know, for example, like some years ago, I was playing golf out at Iron Masters Country Club, a couple guys from here at church, and we were playing, came a big thunderstorm, and we were in a shelter away from the storm in a little shelter that they had on the course there, little small things all cramped in there. And there was an older man in there that actually worked at the club. He was driving a tractor mowing grass. You know, he was like, I'm going to guess his age. He's probably like 107, 108 years old. And we're standing in there getting out of the storm. And all of a sudden, he just looked at me, and his name was Bob. I introduced myself, and he said, "Hey, I'm Bob." And he had his hands crossed like this, and he looked right at me, first time I'd ever met him, and he said, "You know what? I think golf is stupid." And you know, the way I was playing that day, I totally agreed with him, you know? But I said, "Really, why do you think golf is stupid?" He said, "Golf is stupid. Golfers are stupid." He said, I said, "Well, what do you like to play?" He said, I bowl. I wanted to say, "I think bowling is stupid." But I didn't say that. I fought that urge. And I said, "Well, why do you like bowling rather than golf?" And here was his answer. It was classic. He said, "When I throw my ball, it comes back to me." He said, "You hit that little ball and you got to go find it. You got to go chase it." You know, and I couldn't argue with that. That was pretty good logic, you know, really there. But, you know, it's all about encounters. What's the most interesting encounter you've ever had? You know, have you ever been around somebody and when you meet them, when you hear about their life, all of a sudden you realize that you have something in common with them, and you see that they do what you have in common a lot better than how you do that. Have you ever seen somebody like that? And you like walk away and you say, "Man, I wish I was as good at doing that as he is at doing that, or she is at doing that." Sometimes when you have those kind of encounters, you benefit from it in a great, great way. I mean, it's all about encounters. Have you ever had an encounter where somebody like hurt you or embarrassed you? I thought it was interesting the other day on our church Facebook page, one of the ladies here at the church said to pray for her, that she'd been to Macy's or one of the department stores locally, and she said, "To my embarrassment, the lady that waited on me is not pregnant." I instantly felt really bad for her because I could just see this happening. "Oh, when's your baby due?" I'm not pregnant. It's like, oh, man, I'm glad that wasn't me. That was my first thought, you know? I mean, have you ever had those kind of encounters where you say something or you do something just really, really off the wall or really, really dumb, and you're embarrassed by it? You see, we are shaped by the encounters that we have. And Easter is all about encountering God. Encountering God's love on the cross. Encountering God's promises that we have there. I found an interesting phrase a couple weeks ago. Talked about how instead of promises full of emptiness, he gave us emptiness that is full of promise. I mean, don't you just look at the world, and the world promises all these things, and many times it just leads to emptiness. But Easter is about encountering God and understand that he gave us emptiness that brought us great promise. He gave us an empty cross that tells us that our sins are and can be forgiven. He gave us an empty tomb, which demonstrated to us that death is not the end, but that we really do have eternal life. And that the wages of sin might be death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. There are empty promises at Easter that is full of promise. You see, the emptiness of the tomb, the emptiness of the cross shows us how much God loves us and how much God wants us to have a bright and a secure future. You know, I love Matthew 28, verse 1 through 10. It's typically the Easter story. Let me read it to you this morning. Look at this word. I love this word. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. I love that phrase. Afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." You see, folks, this first Easter Sunday morning was all about these women, these unsuspecting women in many ways, and their encounter with Jesus. You know, have you ever wanted someone to encounter something that you have experienced in the same way that you did? I remember some years ago, I took a group from the church here over to the Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, and we saw the musical, the Easter musical, Behold the Lamb. Have you ever seen that? Whew, man, what a powerful thing. I'll never forget, it was just me, no one else in my family went, and we were over there and we saw this, and just to see this in a theatrical production of the life and of the death and the burial and the resurrection and even the ascension of Jesus. And to experience that in such a beautiful and moving way. I'll never forget, I just happened to notice as they were all dancing and singing on the stage and Jesus was beginning his ministry, and all of a sudden I noticed as Jesus twirled around that the woman with the issue of blood just reached out and his garment just brushed her hand as he swirled around, and she fell to the ground and was instantly healed. And I happened to see that, and I'm like, it just like moved me. And then to see Jesus, you know, so graphically crucified on the cross, and oh, they do such a marvelous job. And I remember I was just so moved. I was at one point just weeping at what I saw and what I heard, and it was so awesome. And here's what I did. On my way home, I called the theater on my cell phone, and I ordered 4 tickets for that very next week. Now, I just saw it. I ordered 4 tickets, 1 for me, 1 for Arlene, and 2 for our children. Our children were young teens at the time. And in my heart, I thought, you know what? I want Arlene to experience this. I want my children to experience this. I want my children to see graphic depiction of how much God loved them through Jesus Christ. And I ordered 4 tickets, and right away, and the very next week, I said, come on, girls, we're going to Lancaster, and we're going to see this show. And I took them and saw the show. And you know what? I experienced that show in a totally different way the second time because I wasn't really watching it because I knew what was happening. I wanted to see my children's reaction. And I even whispered over to Sarah, Sarah, what? See the lady, watch what she does when she gets close to Jesus. Kristen, honey, scoot over here, that guy in front of you, he's too tall. Sit here in my seat so that you can see, so that your view won't be blocked. I wanted my kids to experience the same thing that I experienced. And in some ways they did, but in a lot of ways they didn't. You know, the times during the program that I found myself weeping for what God had done for me. I'm looking over and my children, I'm just looking for some kind of emotion on their face and in their, you know, something. I wanted them to experience that production like I did. And in some ways they did. And in other ways, I was disappointed. You see, the world gives us promises that are full of emptiness. God gives us a cross and a tomb that's empty, but yet full of promise. But it's all about how we encounter Jesus and Him being alive. You know, when I read this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, there's just tons of stuff that jump out at me. But as a pastor and as your pastor and as your friend, I want you to experience this Easter the same thing that these ladies experienced there that first Easter. And so let me just mention a few words to you. It's all about motivation. It's about jubilation. It's about inspiration. I mean, the encounter that they had with Jesus here, it was all about motivation and jubilation and inspiration. You know, think about it. It's all about motivation. Why were they there? I mean, the Bible's pretty clear that they came on this first Easter to anoint the body of Jesus. They came because they loved Him. They did not come because they thought He was alive. They came to honor Him even though He was dead. They were there because of their love for Jesus' life. They had no clue what they were about to experience. What drove them, what motivated them to come there that Easter was God's love for them and their love for God's Son. You know, I wonder about us here today. You know, think about it. There's some of you guys here this morning. You might be here today because your child came up and said, Dad, would you go to church with us this Easter? Maybe you're not normally here. There's some of us that are here this morning. You're here because family invited you. Some of you are here today because someone in little Noah's family invited you. He's going to be baptized today. You see, there's all kinds of reasons what brought us here, but I'm telling you, folks, what should motivate us to come here is our love for God and understanding His love for us. Let me give you a little lesson here in Bible history that I think is pretty interesting. When these ladies went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, think about it. They could probably see the hill on which Jesus was crucified. Just there in the not too distance, not too far away. They could see it. A lot of people don't realize that when Jesus was in the grave, it says, you know, that He rose in 3 days. It wasn't 3 24-hour periods. You know, He wasn't crucified at a particular time, and 3 24-hour periods later, He rose from the grave. He was crucified on Friday. He was in the grave on Saturday, and He rose on Sunday. But the Sabbath started at sundown Friday night. So typically what people think was that they had not cleaned up everything from the crucifixion by Easter Sunday morning. They wouldn't have done it on the Sabbath day. It would have been prohibited. They couldn't have done it. Most people think that as they went to the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning, that they probably saw in the distance, maybe even the crosses were still there. Maybe the debris from everything that had happened that day was still there. You know, who knows? But they could see the remains of that. It had to be on their hearts and minds. As they went to the tomb that first Easter morning, they were unaware of the events that had transpired. But they still went. You see, folks, you and I must be motivated by our love for God and the love from God. But they also had jubilation. Matter of fact, if you read this text very quickly, it says that afraid yet filled with joy, they ran to tell the disciples. Think about this. They were shedding tears of grief, and all of a sudden they were shedding tears of joy. At one moment, they were wondering how in the world they would roll away the stones so that they could anoint the body of Jesus. And the next moment, they've experienced a massive earthquake, and an angel rolls the stone away, and it says here that he sat on it. You see, one moment they were just afraid, and then it says that they were still afraid, but yet they were filled with joy. You see, folks, when we're talking about encountering Jesus at Easter in the same way that these folks did, we've got to be motivated by our love for him and his love for us, but we also have to get to this point that we just celebrate what God has done for us. It says his appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were afraid and they shook and they became like dead men. And then Jesus speaks their name. And what came out of that encounter was nothing but sheer joy. Joy because the one that they thought was dead is now alive. The one that they had missed and were longing for and wondering how they could go on without him. He was now standing before them. And it says that they came down, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. You see, folks, that's the motivation of Easter. You know, I think it's kind of like the child I saw here yesterday. It was so neat because this little kid had gone out. You know, we had thousands of Easter eggs here. All of them had candy in it. And this one little guy, I don't know who he was. I don't know what his name was. He had this whole basket full of eggs. And I was noticing him sitting in the one of the seats there because he was one of the first ones that went out and got his Easter eggs. And he filled the basket up and he came back in and he's sitting in one of the seats here and he's literally opening up every egg and eating every piece of candy. I don't think he's here this morning. I think he has a stomach ache. Every piece. And I had to just love the little guy because I was noticing him. He would take the candy out of the egg and just throw the plastic egg on the floor. Just throw it down. You know, I wanted to say, dude, I'm gonna have to pick that up after you're gone. But I was so enamored by his just sheer joy of what he had. And listen, folks, you know, sometimes as Christians, as time goes on, we lose that kind of childhood innocence and excitement about the things that we have or the things that we're given in life. And as Christians, we need to be joyful and jubilant. Because of this, that was the way they encountered Christ. And that's the way that we should encounter him as well. Let me give you one more because it's all about inspiration. Motivation, jubilation, and inspiration. If you notice here, it says that Jesus said to them to go and to tell his disciples that he was alive. That Jesus said to these ladies here, go and tell the whole world, my disciples, tell the whole world that I am alive. It's about inspiration. In other words, what are you going to do now that you've been here today? What are you going to do now that you're here, you know, maybe motivated by something other than what you need to be motivated by, but yet learning that we need to be motivated by God's love for us and our love for Him? You know, that we need to dispel our fear and be joyful. Be joyful because of what God has done, what God has accomplished. What are we going to do because of that? What are we going to do now that we've been here this morning? It's all about inspiration. It's all about taking out there and sharing with others what God has done for us. Let me tell you the end of that story that I started with there about my kids. You know, I wanted them to get that message of behold the Lamb so very much. And I was somewhat disappointed in their reaction once I took them. Until I realized that it's not just about a moment, but it's what we do after that moment. Because you know what? Later on, my kids got it in a great way, and I'm so thankful for that. But I realized that it's not just about a moment, but it's about a moment and then what we do with that moment. In other words, these three ladies came, they were motivated, they had jubilation, but it was all about what they did with that moment, what God had showed them, what God had taught them, what God had given to them. It's what they did with it when they left there, because they went and they shared and they told people about Jesus. They bowed down before Him and they worshiped Him. And then they went out and they told their brothers and sisters and anyone that would listen about what Jesus Christ had done, that Jesus Christ was alive. And you see, folks, it's not just about us convincing each other that Jesus is alive, but it's about us going out there and living like He is alive. So this Easter, I want you to encounter the living Christ just like these ladies did on that first Easter morning. And then I want us to go out and understand that the resurrection is all about love that is stronger than death. And we share that with everyone that we come in contact with. You know why? Because just as we have encountered Jesus Christ and Him being alive today, God wants other people to encounter that same thing through us. Think about that. This is exactly what the ladies did. So you and I have to go out and we have to tell people and show people that love is always stronger than death. And that the empty promises of Easter are full of promise. That the world might give us promises that are full of emptiness, but He gives us this emptiness that is full of promise. And because of that promise, we can live for Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask today that You would help us to encounter Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. Help us, Lord, to come in contact with His love and with His saving grace. And God, I pray that You would help every person that's here this morning to encounter You. Lord, just as these ladies did. Because if we come here today and we don't encounter You, if we just talk to each other, if we just pat each other on the back, if we just cheer each other on with the wisdom of the world, then what good have we done? But God, if we encounter You, the real You, the living Christ, and that, Lord, we encounter You in such a way that we are motivated by Your love for us and by our love for You, that, God, we are inspired by the goodness of God's grace and mercy, and then, Lord, that we would leave this place and just be convinced, Father, that we need to live for You. And that, Lord, our life is full of joy and goodness. Lord, as we see these women walk away from that first Easter, I pray, Lord, that our encounter with Christ would be similar and just like that, and that our life would be changed forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.